Turn to Psalm 142, please, if you have your Bibles. Psalm 142. Told Calray today, I said, I don't got nothing new. I don't have a tribute money sermon. Wasn't that a great sermon? My land. Great preaching throughout the week, and here I'm going to mess it up tonight. You preachers have preached it. I've preached it. But it's the most overlooked sermon in the world today. And that is the subject of hell. I caution preaching on hell because the shouts don't come very often. And I know the enemy will fight. But I still believe the Word of God when He says that greater is He is in me, He is in the world. And I've read the back of the book. And as far as I can tell, we're already won. Tonight we've been praying for you, sinner friend. We trust you'll give your heart to the Lord tonight. Psalm 142. You probably have heard this preached from this text before, but we want to look tonight at verse 4 of Psalm 142. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Tonight we want to preach on the subject, if people go to hell, who cares? We all would agree that the modern church is filled with troubles. Many of you this week have just went through things this past month that you thought you never would have to face as a pastor. The burden down seems like every call you get, it's worse than the call before. There's a new trial, something shocking that you would never have thought you would ever happen to your church. And we have seminars today on things that I never thought we'd ever have seminars about. Then we have the other side of the church that's just full of complacency. They have cares, but they have their own cares. They care about their financial situation and they care about their family. And those are all good in their place, but they rarely care about their soul, let alone somebody else's soul. People today just don't care. We live in a rebellious Christian church world. They don't care if they have revival. They don't care if we're having Spring Jubilee. They don't care to hold a Sunday school teaching position. They don't care whether they go to church or not. They just flat out don't care. And in the meantime, while we are not caring, souls are dying every second and going to hell. Sinner friend, there's people tonight that still care for you. First of all, the Savior cares. I checked today, John 3:16 still in the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, He cares for you tonight, sinner friend. He cares for you so much that He left a perfect place to come to an imperfect world, to die, to be born of a virgin, to live a victorious life, to die a vicarious death, and He did it all just for you. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all, not Methodist, not Baptist, not Presbyterian, but that all should come to repentance. He cares for you so much, in fact, He's holding back His coming to give you another opportunity. And I prayed tonight before I came. I said, Lord, just hold off Your coming just for a few more moments. I know You could come tonight, but there's going to be people there that need You. Just hold off Your coming just for a few hours. Sinner friend, tonight Jesus cares for you. You may think no one cares, but thank God the Savior in heaven cares for you tonight. An evangelist was holding a crusade and returned home and found a note on his dining room table. He said, Charles, I'm tired of the evangelistic life and I'm leaving you. He was depressed. He became despondent. Just put yourself in his position. He was a famous songwriter, famous evangelist at that time. He didn't think things like that could happen to him. So there he was in the midst of depression. And like so many times, the Holy Spirit came upon him and gave him words to a song to write down to share his grief. And the words were this: "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. For I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me until that day I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus." Glory! "There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me." The Savior cares. Secondly, the saints care. Luke 15:7 tells us, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance." The saints in heaven tonight care not if you go to hell. Now, I'm sorry to burst the bubble of a lot of singers and preachers. But you know, while you're preaching and while you're singing, heaven's not shouting very much. I'm sorry. I know you think you're better than what you are. But heaven ain't shouting. But you know when they did shout? About 16 times this week. Glory! There's rejoicing in the presence of angels. Not angels, but the presence of angels when one sinner comes home. Hallelujah! And we felt the presence of God here this week, haven't you? Oh yes, we've shouted. But more than that, heaven shouted this week because 16 people came to know Christ as their Savior. And I say, glory to God! Hallelujah! I'll never forget. Shout it out, brother. I'll preach over you. I'll never forget a couple of years ago. It's been over 2 years ago now. Calvin Rabel's holding a revival at Southern Baptist Church. And my cousin's husband, I'd never met him before, but I just knew he's my cousin's husband. I knew his name was Phil. Went to his son's baptizing. Didn't know nothing about church. Even spent time in jail. And there he was at a baptizing. He told us later that while he was there, something got a hold of him. That was the exact word. And he didn't have no idea what it was. So he called my aunt and he said, "Doris, what in the world's wrong with me?" She said, "Phil, you're under old time conviction." He said, "What's that?" He was reading the Bible. Didn't know where to turn. Opened up the Portsmouth Daily Times. There it was, right in his face. Soda Baptist Church, revival. Calvin Ray Evans preaching. I happened to be with him that night. It was on the Monday night of the revival. Calvin Ray preaching hard and heavy. And before Calvin Ray could even get the words out, "Would you like to come?" I hear this. And I look to my side and here's Phil running like a banshee on the side of the aisle and did a Pete Rose impression right down at the altar. Going around his second, headed for home. Here he was. And he slid right in there. He held up his hands and said, "Lord, save me!" And you know what? He did! Glory to God! And he's become one of our most faithful members at our church. In fact, he sits right on the front row beside my grandpa. And that's the worst place in the world if you don't want a blessing to sit. But he's always there, never misses a service. And we shouted that night, didn't we, Cal? Oh, I shouted. You better believe I did. But more than that, there's a bunch of people in heaven. Millions of people rejoiced because Phil Haver's name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. They shouted for me on September the 6th, 1981. They shouted for you, and they're ready to shout tonight. Glory to God! The saints care. Third, the sinners care. Whether or not you go to heaven. Luke 16. We hardly ever get out of revival without preaching about Luke 16. The rich man. A true account, I believe, with all my heart. He was a rich man on earth and he was still a rich man in hell. But he didn't have anything. He said in verse 27, I pray thee therefore, Father, he was talking to Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He was talking about Lazarus. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. The Bible also says, and he lifted up his eyes. That shows me he had perfect vision. He had his feeling. He had nerves. But he didn't have a new body. He suffered every single day in torment. Tonight, if we can open up this concrete tonight and look down into hell, there are millions of souls praying for you not to come to that place. You know why? Because hell is a place of unimaginable suffering. I can't help but think of the pain they're going through tonight. We have no idea to comprehend in our minds. The way I try to do it, I try to put in my mind the worst pain I've ever had. And that was just about a couple years ago whenever I was down on my back and I had to have back surgery. That ain't nothing compared to what some of you have to go through, but that was the worst pain I'd ever felt. So when I was studying for this, I tried to remember that pain and I couldn't move. I was almost, I felt like I was paralyzed. And you know us men, whenever we hurt, we cry like a baby anyway. So imagine the worst pain you've ever felt, and I know women, God help you, God bless you, I mean. You know what pain is all about if you've ever gave birth to a child. Imagine the worst pain you've ever had and magnify that by 100,000 times, and you still haven't got a drop in the bucket compared to what hell is. It's a place where the worm, and in fact that word worm translates man. It's a place where man dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Every single day you're burning forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, only to wake up and you keep burning. Unimaginable suffering. A pastor was having lunch with one of his deacons, and he was a retired steel mill worker. And he would work around the big vats of lead that they melted iron ore and metal. And they said it got so hot that they could throw a brick up on that steel, and the flame would be so intense that it would consume the brick even before it would hit the lead. 3,000, 4,000 degrees. And his manager one day was working around these vats of metal and lead and got his suspenders and bibbed overalls caught in a piece of machinery. And he tipped over and fell in one of those vats of lead. And the pastor was shocked. Without even thinking, he said, "How'd they get the body out?" And the deacon said, "They didn't get the body out." He said, "What about the remains?" He said, "There were no remains." It's hard to imagine. One second being a human body, but then the next second being a molecule in a vat of molten lead. But the worst thing about that, if that man did not know Christ as his Savior, his suffering just began. Hell is also a place of unrestricted sin. Now think about this tonight. Today on earth, I really feel that man cannot be as bad as he really could be. And here's why. Because implanted within us, we have a conscience. Now I know our conscience can be seared, the Bible tells us. But I really feel with all my heart, and I have to believe this, that when people are about ready to do some horrible act of crime, that something within him says, "What are you about to do?" That's their conscience speaking to them. But imagine a place, hell, where there is no boundaries, where there is no restriction, where there is no conscience. No more singing, no more preaching, no more saints praying for you. A place where there is no more boundaries. Think of the most awful crimes that have ever been committed in our American history. You think of Ted Bundy. son of Sam, Charles Manson. If they were a rapist here on earth, they'll be 100 times worse rapist in hell. If they were a murderer on earth, they'll be 100 times worse in hell. If they were a child molester on earth, they'll be 100 times worse in hell, because there is no restrictions. Hell is also a place of unattainable salvation. See, tonight, some of you tonight have comfort because you're still alive and you still have an opportunity to be saved. But you listen to me tonight. There will come a day. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, but there will come a day when you will hear your very last sermon, when you'll hear your very last song, when you'll hear your very last verse of "Just As I Am." And if you die tonight without Jesus Christ and you go to hell, there will be no more chances. Because the choice has already been made. I wonder what they're crying tonight. They're praying for you, but I wonder if we can just hear what the people are saying in hell. I bet they're saying, "Oh preacher, just preach 5 more minutes. Oh soul leader, just sing "Just As I Am" one more time. Just 1 more verse. Just 5 more minutes. But the grim reality is, there is no more chances. No more chances. You've made the choice. And when you're in hell, it's too late. The choice has already been made. And really, there is only one choice that really matters. And that's if you have Jesus Christ. It's either hell or heaven. Now, I've told you about hell. But I think in order for you to make the wise choice, I need to tell you about heaven. Heaven's a place where sorrows are removed. We sang about it. We felt it. We testified about it. We prayed about it. We're not there yet, but you know what? It's a reality. Some of you today, you got up and it took you a lot longer to get up today than it did a few years ago. Your body's racked with pain. You wear little lenses on your face because you can't see. You have arthritis. You have cancer. You have bad back problems. You have nerve problems. You're in a wheelchair. You have to walk with a walker. But thank God there'll come a day. There'll come a day when we get to the portals of glory, when God will say, "Wheelchair, you stay outside. Diabetes, you stay outside. Cancer, you stay outside." And we'll go into heaven with a brand new body. The Bible says, glory to God, glory to God. The Bible says that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, no more pain, because the former things are passed away. Sorrow will be removed forever. Mike got into my sermon tonight. You stopped at a good place, brother. See, when he was talking about it, we can eat whatever we want, I got happy. And I'll show you why. A lot of you know I've had diabetes for 15 years. And if you can get that on the camera there, that's an insulin pump I wear on my side. The Lord took care of me, though. Haven't been to the hospital once in 15 years. Not once. And you know what? I eat too much, I know. But I know, my dad, he's a pharmacist. But you know, I can't eat all I want to. But thank God there'll come a day when I ain't going to have to worry about Dr. Atkins anymore! Glory to God! I don't have to worry about not eating bread anymore. I can eat all the heavenly manna I want to, and thank God all the honey I want to, and it won't bother me a bit. I want it to have a glucose tester. I want it to have insulin anymore. You know why? Because diabetes, it'll be gone. Glory to God. That don't excite you very much, does it? Oh, yeah, it does me. Because I only know I walk and never get fat. Glory to God. Or maybe we'll all be fat. I don't know. Who knows? Who cares, right? We'll be able to eat, right, Richard? Sorrows are removed. And you know what? Also, saints are reunited. Now, a lot of you here share a common trait. And that is there's a lot more of you up there than there are down here. Now, when I talk about eating what I want and sorrows are removed, I get happy. And you know, when I talk about saints being reunited, I get happy. But I just don't get as happy as some of you. Because I'm blessed. All my family, with the exception of a couple of great-grandparents, actually all my great-grandparents and one grandpa, they're all going to heaven. But I have three grandparents. I have my wife and my mom and dad. They're all here. And I'm blessed to have my family here. But some of you, you lay down at night and all you got's a picture. All you have is a memory of what used to be. And see, if I was to ask my mom tonight, she's here. She gave me an anointed cloth and I put it in my shoe. Blessed are the feet that preach the gospel. Amen. But if I was to ask my mom and dad what heaven means to them, they'd say, I got a daughter waiting on me. If I was to ask some of you tonight, if I was to ask Elaine Lassiter, Elaine, what's heaven mean to you? Since I got a mommy and daddy waiting on me. Some of you tonight would say, I got a husband waiting on me. I've got a wife waiting on me. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. Because I believe any second, any minute, thank God, we'll be reunited with the ones who kept the faith. Glory to God. A lot of people I miss. Oh, I miss their presence. I miss Harold. I do. Really do. But he's waiting on me. And you know what he'll say to me when I get up there? How you doing, my boy? Say, I'm doing great, Harold. But you know what? More than that, yeah, I'll get to be with my family. And that's wonderful. But more than that, I met someone about 25 years ago. Five-year-old boy, you guys know the story. I've told it more than once, haven't I? Five-year-old boy sitting second row piano side at Northmoreland Christian Baptist Church, September the 6th, 1981. I'll never forget it. I walked down an aisle, and I met my blessed Savior. And one of these days, I'm going to walk... This ain't very theological preaching, but thank God I'm blessed. Amen. I'll get to walk up to the feet of my Savior and I'll bow at His feet and thank Him and be reunited with Him forever. And we always say, what are we going to ask Him? It ain't really going to matter. Because if I'm in His presence, that's all that matters to me. I ask Aaron Payne and Caleb and Jimmy to come to the stage, please. Jimmy Payne wrote a song that I just felt with all my heart. And when I woke up this morning, it was on me. And I just felt like calling him and having him sing it. He wrote a beautiful song about heaven. And they're going to sing it as a song of invitation tonight. And Center Friend, I want you to really think about the two choices I gave you. And that's really the only choice that matters. It's either hell or heaven. And really, after preaching about all that, I want to go to heaven, don't you? But the choice is up to you. I'd love to be able to come back there and put my hand on your shoulder and say you're saved. but I can't do it. But God will meet you. I'm amazed how far God will go. He invented computers so that one man that couldn't talk could tap out with the side of his head, "I want to be saved." If he had invented computers just for that, it was worth it. Glory to God. And you say, "Brian, no one cares for me." There's about 700 of us here tonight that care for you. Or we wouldn't have these meetings. We love you. And that's why we had not to uplift Bud Medford or Richard Wells or Calvin Evans and Calvin Ray Evans. It's to uplift Jesus Christ. That's why God blesses this meeting. And we do it to see you saved. And I hope tonight you've got a clear message of what the choices are. It's heaven or hell.